Ryan, thank you for your help this morning. I appreciate it. Brother Brian, would you come and preach to us? Thank you, brother.
When he said, thanks for your help, I was trying to think what I'd done. I was like, did I miss out on something this morning? Okay, so John 12:48 is where you need to turn to, but John 12:48 is the last thing we'll read. So when we get there, you know we've just about crossed the finish line, okay? Because I got a lot of scripture, and I'm just going to put my head down and plow through it and read to you. And I don't know if you could flip fast enough to go through it all. Okay. Before we get started, just as a preface to things, if I say you, that does not exclude me. People sometimes get offended over pronoun use and things like that, and you say you or I or something like that. If I say you, it's in a general sense. It incorporates me too. How do you start your car? Well, you take your key. I don't go out there and have some magic way to start my car. I have to use the key too, okay? If I say I stuff or I'm talking about I, it's not because I think I'm the standard or anything along that line. It's just I'm telling you a story or relating or something or acknowledging the fact that I know I have said something before kind of thing, what the Bible says. So please do not get offended by you or I statements on stuff. Acts 24, we know that Paul reasoned to Felix, righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Okay, we know that God is a God of patterns. God had patterns from the tabernacle. God had patterns for the temple. God had patterns to salvation. Paul talked about his life. He said he was a pattern. His life was a pattern to those that should be saved thereafter. You know, because God's a God of order. God has given the man the ability to reason in a general sense. And we know that God reasons with man. Right. Even lost men. In Isaiah 1:18-20, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Romans 10:21, he states to Israel, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Proverbs 3:20-23, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Jeremiah 44:3-4. Because of the wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. God tries to reason with man. Even after direct rebellion, God has shown mercy with man and attempted to reason with man.
Right.
Adam and Eve. Where art thou, Adam? After they had disobeyed God. Cain, with his bad offering, he tried to reason with him. After he murdered Abel, God tried to reason with him. Ahab, with Elijah. Ahab was one of the wickedest kings in the Bible. Manasseh, and all of his great wickedness, which he had done and caused Judah to sin, and all the terrible things he caused Judah to do. And then he brought him into captivity. And he humbled himself before God because of all the wickedness of which he had done. Even those with the spirit of Jezebel in the church of Thyatira in Revelations, verse 2:20-21, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Christ even asked Judas, he said, friend, wherefore art thou come? When he came back. And it's Jesus knew full well that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen.
Yeah.
He wasn't surprised by that. But yet he said, friend, Wherefore art thou come? Hearken back to that, and you listen to that, and you hearken back to how God talked to Adam. God knew what Adam had done. God knew exactly where Adam was.
Yeah.
Adam, where art thou? God knew and knows everything from the beginning before there was even a beginning to be had.
Yeah.
God, who knows everything, is sometimes just looking for acknowledgement and admission for repentance. That's why sometimes when you people call me, now you people, I mean you all, not me. When you people, my wife gets on me all the time because I say that, you people, when you all call me friend, I'm thinking, what do they mean by that? What are they trying to say? So, God does attempt to reason with man until he doesn't.
Yeah.
Romans 1:19-20 and verse 28, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians 2:8-12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God tried to reason with man. They wouldn't have none of it. God sends a delusion for this cause.
Yeah.
Acts 13:44-46. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Daniel in chapter 4. And I'm going to turn to Daniel chapter 5 here real quick. You know, God set up Nebuchadnezzar to rule. God set up Nebuchadnezzar to rule because of the wickedness of his people.
Yeah.
And he had a troubling vision that he had. And God warned him about his pride and vainful thoughts of his imagination. And then the next thing you know, Nebuchadnezzar's walking about his palace talking about, look at all I've done and look at all I've been able to do with my power and look at my glory. And look at my majesty. As if he had done it by the power of his own hands. And when Daniel's talking to Belshazzar, which is deals with Nebuchadnezzar, this is the story that's told in Daniel chapter 5. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom. This is when they saw the writing on the wall with the hand, okay? Majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his heart and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And when he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was like the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the leaven of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou, and thy lords, and thy wives, and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass and iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all the ways, thou hast thou not glorified. God attempts to reason with man until he doesn't. This is what he said with regards to Nebuchadnezzar. In 4:34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. You know what God did to Nebuchadnezzar? He took his ability to reason away from him.
Yes.
He made him like a dumb animal out in the field. He removed his ability to reason.
Yes.
God reasons with man until he doesn't. And his son, and I know sometimes they use the word son and everything in a loose manner that he may not have actually been a son. I'm sorry, I haven't studied that. I don't know if that was actually his son or not. I'm just putting a precautionary note out there so somebody says something. But he saw the example, and he didn't heed it. And God didn't give him a second chance.
Yeah.
God said, that's it.
Yeah.
You saw this before.
Yep.
You didn't pay attention to it. You're in the same prideful state of your father. You're finished.
Yeah.
Usually what happens with God says he's done reasoning with man is judgment. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. But the Bible says the sinners of the land, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. When God told Noah to start building that ark, only 8 people were getting on that.
Yeah.
That was it. 8 people was all that was getting on. There was never anybody else want to get on that as far as people was going.
Yeah.
God knows everything.
Yes.
Our modern generation is willfully ignorant that the same judgment is coming, except this time it's going to come by fire.
Right.
2 Peter 3.
Yep.
And now you may be asking the question, what does this have to do with reading and studying your Bible? Because the Word of God, in conjunction with the Spirit of God, is the primary tool to communicate with man.
Yes.
It is the primary tool to communicate with man as an individual. You know, we spend more time out of church than we spend in church.
True.
People try to say, well, you know, I go to church once or twice or maybe even 3 times a week. You know, I watch this on YouTube or whatever here and there. But church house preaching, and some people may disagree with that, church house preaching shouldn't be the main course of food in your life.
That's true.
Your personal reading and studying of the Bible should be your main course.
Yes.
When you come to church, you should be getting edified. You can be taught stuff. I'm not saying that can't happen. But a lot of it should be reinforcement of what God's already shared with you at the house.
Right. Exactly.
And if we choose to neglect the reading and the studying of His Word, there's consequences to that.
Sure there is.
You know, if the lost refuse to heed the Word, the Bible says there's some therefores to that. God often says one thing, and he says, therefore, because you didn't do this, because you didn't need it, here's the consequences to that. If the professing Christian refuses to read and study, there's some therefores to that. There's some consequences to that.
Yes.
The pastor asked me to preach, you know, on reading and studying our Bibles. Everybody in here knows we're supposed to read and study our Bibles. That is not news to anybody.
Right.
If that is news to you, you are in trouble.
Yes.
If you claim to be a Christian and you think it's a shocking thing that you are expected to read and study your Bible, you are in trouble.
Right.
There was and I may have talked about this before, there was a movie that was on some Christian network that my buddy had us watch, and it was a mystery. And something happened where something got stolen or something like that, and the detective was walking around, and he was like, he'd walk up to this person and he said, well, we know that the person who was in this area at the time was reading their Bible. And this guy, it was a Christian camp. He said, oh, well, you know, that wasn't me. I never read my Bible. And the guy sits there and he says, that's interesting. And he goes, we knew they were singing hymns and to this other lady. And this lady goes, oh, well, that couldn't be because I never sing. And he goes, well, that's interesting because this is a Christian camp where they're supposed to be teaching kids stuff. So it's nothing new. So we have the question is the things that people say who are professing Christians, I always use the word professing Christian, I'm not God to know whether somebody's saved or not. I'm supposed to look at their fruits and be able to tell some stuff about people. I know that that's anathema today and anathema in today's society. You're not supposed to be able to judge anything, but the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be able to look at people's fruit and tell something about them.
Sure.
There are people that say, I have no lasting desire to read it. I find it boring. It's not interesting to me. And the answer to that is we'll get born again.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:2-3. And I think I've read this just about every time I've been up here. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Yes.
And I say, and again there's me using the high term, don't take offense to that because it's actually God says, but I say, A newborn babe desires to be fed.
Yes.
If that baby doesn't have any desire for food, there's something wrong with it.
Right, right.
God doesn't do stillborn babies.
Right.
God doesn't halfway birth somebody into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, because you want to grow. You have a desire to grow. You have a desire to please the one who paid the price for you.
Yes.
If so be ye that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And again, I say the problem is that I think there's a lot of people that have never tasted how gracious the Lord is. That's why they have no desire.
Right.
They don't know anything about being born again, the new birth. They went some religious formality, religious training, religious process set up by some denomination, and they don't know anything about the birth of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Never had a desire to read. That shocks me to hear Christians say that. And I'm not talking about somebody who may have gotten cold and gotten out of the way temporarily. But if you're God's, He's going to deal with you. He'll chasten you.
Yep.
Isn't that what the Bible says?
Yep.
I don't understand it, people say. Again, you got to be born again.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Right.
This book is not a college textbook.
Right.
This book is a spiritual book.
Yep.
Authored by the living God.
Yep.
Philip and the eunuch in Acts. He went up to Philip. Philip went up to the eunuch, and he was reading in Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? God laid him over there. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he opened the scripture and preached Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Philip understood it. The eunuch didn't understand it.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, I would read it, but I'm not smart enough. You remember Moses? When God called Moses to go preach to the people and to lead them out of Egypt, and what did Moses say? I can't talk.
Yeah.
I can't talk. And God said, who made your tongue? I hear people say it's impossible for me to read and understand that book. Well, the good news is that God's a God of the impossible.
Yep. Amen.
Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The apostles were not Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah.
They were not the smartest people on the face of the earth, and that's why God picked them out.
Yep.
They were ignorant and unlearned men.
Yes.
The dregs of society. Fishermen.
Yep.
But when people were around them, they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because God taught them. 1 Corinthians 1:26-27. For you see your calling, brethren, now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God operates exactly opposite to the world system.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11:16. God is a rewarder of them which diligently seek Him. You can have an IQ of 3, and if you're diligently seeking God, God is going to reward you if you're His.
Amen.
He's going to give you some light.
Mm-hmm.
And if you obey that light that He gives you, He'll add to that light. But you got to be careful. Because if you ignore that light that God gave you, God warns to people. He said He's going to take away even that which you have.
Yeah.
God gave teachers, He gave preachers, He gave apostles, He gave evangelists to the church for the perfecting of the ministry of the saints. But the best teacher in the world
mm-hmm.
is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And you on your face
yep.
with this book.
Yep. Amen.
The Word of God is not to be intellectualized. We've got too much of that going on today. We're not to take the Word of God and worry about making it please the world or conform to the world's agenda.
Yeah.
Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And there are so many people today that sit and say, I'm a Christian, I believe the Word of God, but...
Mm-hmm.
And they twist the Word of God to make it fit their agenda because it's something new
yep.
and not heard before, therefore it's exciting. I had a college professor, and he loved Mormonism. He actually hated all religion, but he loved Mormonism because it was a slap in the face to fundamental Christianity because it's something new. As he said it in class, he said, it's something new. You don't have to sit around and interpret the scriptures the same old tired way. They came along and did something magical with it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, men were involved, the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. As it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It works in people that believe. People that have been born again, if they're reading and studying the word of God and doing what God says, it works.
Yes. Yes, amen.
God used men to pen it down. But it's His word.
Yeah.
He's the one who preserved and protected it.
Yeah.
And another objection all the time from people claiming to be Christians is, I can't trust the word of God because men were involved with it. It's been tainted by man. And I will agree with you, there are some versions of the Bible that have been tainted by man. Absolutely believe that. But I will stick by the King James Bible. God has never let me down with that, ever.
Yeah.
Ever. I believe God preserved His word for the English people, speaking people in this book. Not because some man told me that. But I've read and studied. God led me in that direction. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'm going to turn to 2 Peter here real quick, I believe. Just a second. I didn't get this one out. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place, into the dawn and the day star rise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is God's word. This is what God gave to us. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And what He's referencing there is when I think Peter and James were up on the mountain, they say Jesus was transfigured, and God said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Because they wanted to build a tabernacle for Moses and Elijah. He said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And you know what they just said? We've got a more sure word of testimony than their witness as they stood on the mountain. You can trust
Amen.
This word.
Amen.
It doesn't have to conform to the world's agenda for it to be right.
Yes.
If you obey this word and do what you're supposed to do, you will always be in direct conflict with this world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Another objection that people have with regards to reading and studying the word of God is, I just don't have the time to do it. I've got so much going on in my life. I didn't say this, somebody else did, some preacher, but it's good. We've got time to do what we want to do.
That's true.
And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things
He
might have the preeminence.
Yes.
He can't have the preeminence in all things if we're not even giving Him the time of day. That's a contradiction. That's impossible. It wasn't too long ago I was laying in bed. Here's an eye story. Again, I'm not the standard. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm just telling you a story. I was laying in bed. It was 11:30 at night. I was tired. I laid down. And I was like, I did not read my Bible. And I said, let me go through the day and look at all I had done. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and from 6 to 9, I prayed. From 9 to 12, I went and built an orphanage. At 12 p.m., I started building my orphanage, and I went out to a homeless shelter and volunteered my time for the next 8 hours. When I came home, I prayed for another 3 hours. And I said, that's why I didn't read my Bible. I was so busy working for God all day today, 24/7. I mean, that's what we act like. And that's not the truth at all. I laid in bed at 11:30 at night and I said, what did I do today? Well, I went to work. I got up, drove to work, went to work, came home, and sat on my butt for 5 hours. I got painted a little bit. That's what I did today. And again, I'm making a nice statement, but I was ashamed. And I said, I'm seriously going to lay here in bed and say, I'm not going to read my Bible now after doing that. So I got up and read my Bible. Again, not because I'm anything or as an I statement to offend anybody to look at that, but I mean, that's just the reality of where we are. We have to make God the preeminence in our life and not say God is the preeminence when He is not.
Yeah.
And that's a big one. That's the number one thing that comes up with people. I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people say, yeah, I know I don't read like I'm supposed to, but I've got this covered because I've read some and I know the general things, the way things are supposed to go, so I can just go based on my own capability of what I remember those times. You know, we are forgetful creatures, number one. I mean, I read, and sometimes I'm sitting there thinking like, oh man, that's awesome. I've read this before. I've even marked it in my Bible and forgot that I've read it.
Yeah.
We're just forgetful creatures. Our minds are bad. God's instruction, and this is why we're supposed to be reading today, it's important to remember, God's instruction is timely. When God gives us something out of the Word of God and illuminates something to us, it's generally something very timely that's for that time,
yeah,
for that moment, for that day, for that hour, for us, for our benefit.
Yeah.
And not too long ago, you know, we talked about how the people, they said they loathed that light bread.
Mm-hmm.
They loathed that manna from heaven. So they despised it, like people despise the Word. But that manna was only good for that day, except on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
If they kept that manna, using that as a representation of the Word of God, they kept that manna more than a day, it grew worms and it stunk.
Yeah.
And the people were shocked by that. But God told them. That's exactly what God told them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't some natural thing. Again, we don't need to modernize the Word of God because people sit there and say, well, that was a mushroom that grew during a certain time of day. Because when they gathered it on the one day, double portion, it didn't grow worms and stink. It was good for the next day. We don't have this covered outside of the Word of God.
Yeah.
We don't have this covered with our own intellect.
Yeah.
Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 3:5-8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You can't acknowledge Him in all the ways if you're not in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. In Romans 12, we're commanded to renew our minds. In Acts 17:11, we look at the Bereans. And with all readiness of mind, that's a big statement, with all readiness of mind, they search the Scriptures daily.
Yeah.
We have been going through some crazy times in this country, and it's going to get crazier. And I was talking to my buddy, and he said, it's a good thing I'm not God, because I'd have done wiped us all out a long time ago. And I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's easy to get frustrated and get mad at the stuff that's going on, because like I said, you know, this world's not my home, but it's a lot like watching your kid get kicked. You know, that kid's not you. They may have done something to deserve to get kicked, but it's still tough to watch your son get kicked. And the other night I was reading in Numbers, and in just a couple of chapters, how many times did God tell Moses, get out of the way so I can consume this rebellious people? I think it's like 4 or 5 times in just a couple of chapters. Get out of the way so I can consume this rebellious people. And if it had been me, I'd have said, have at it. Dude, I'm tired of this nonsense. This stuff is crazy. based on my own intellect. Based on sometimes like with what's going on, you get in your mind, that's why you need to be in the Word of God. Because that wasn't what the answer was. The answer was to make intercession for the people.
Yeah.
And if God destroys this people, God's going to destroy this people. And I'm going to tell you at the end of the day, there's a lot of people going to get destroyed.
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to be excited and happy about that. I mean, we can pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come, because I'm ready for all this mess to be over with, to be honest with you. But the Word of God in that instance helped my attitude. I'm not supposed to be so angry that I just say, have at it and step out of the way. We're supposed to be intercessors. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation.
Right, right.
That's what God called us to do. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He's our boss. He bought us with a price. Know ye not that ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price?
Right.
If you've been born again, he's the boss.
Yeah.
He gets to tell us how to do stuff in a manner that's pleasing to him. And he doesn't do it for our advantage, even though we get advantage of it. We still get advantage of it. It's to glorify him. We should want to glorify him. If we're not in the Word daily, it's too easy for us to pervert our way and walk in our own way.
Yes.
The easiest person to convince is you. People do it all the time. We all the time walk around and say, I want to do this, and we convince ourselves that it's okay. And a lot of times people use the Word of God to try to do that too. Not the word that they're in, something that they heard back in middle school. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. We have to know the Word of God to be able to do that. God's not magically going to come in and put stuff in our mouths. It never happened. I think we talked before about you're not supposed, God's going to help you. There are people that are going to be brought before courts, and you're not supposed to think ahead. It happened back then. I think it's going to happen again. God's going to bring to remembrance things that he taught you to speak, to shut the mouths of men, to be a witness against them, to be a witness for other people. Hebrews 4:12, we don't like to read sometimes because of how accurate it really is. If you have done any study, I've done some here and there about the book of Daniel. They believe it was written hundreds of years after the events because it was so accurate. And then they found some old manuscripts that used the dialect that was only at the time of then. It was the only time that dialect was used. So it couldn't have been written 800 years after the fact. But it's accurate. People don't like this book because of its accuracy.
Yeah.
It knows the past. It knows what's going on now. And it knows the future. But the most important part is that it knows about us.
Yeah.
As individuals. People don't like to read this book because it's a mirror.
Yep.
For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. You can do stuff that looks good and have bad thoughts and bad intent.
Yep.
This book can discern that.
Yep.
James 1. First chapter of James, it talks about it being a mirror. We need to look at it closely, examine ourselves with this book, and not to walk away forgetting what we saw.
Yeah.
Because sometimes God will show us stuff and we walk around 2 seconds later, it's like he never said anything to us at all. Again, it's for our benefit. None of the Word of God is for our harm.
Yeah.
Harm comes when we ignore God's attempts to reason with us. And that harm is just the consequences of our actions. Mm-hmm. You read about how often they complained about when they were traveling in the wilderness. When they had been taken from Egypt, they said, you brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to die. There's no water. There's no food. There's no meat. There's no this. There's no that. You brought us and our children out here to die. Well, you know, the reason that they were out there wandering around like they did was because they didn't believe God and didn't obey God and go take the land when God told them to.
Yeah.
It was a situation of their own making.
Sure.
God said He's not willing that any should perish, but people do. God said to do what I say so that it'll be well with your souls.
Yep.
But we don't. God begs us over and over and over again to listen to Him, to be in His Word, to read, to understand so He can give you direction. It's hard to understand the Creator of the universe who spoke everything into existence and loved us and died and gave Himself for us to have to beg us to do something for our benefit. Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." If you ignore the sword, like we read in the beginning, if you ignore the sword, out of His mouth came a sharp two-edged sword.
Yeah.
If you ignore the sword, it's going to devour you. John 12:48. This is what you all been looking for. John 12:48. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth them. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." If you've been born again, something I've said over and over again, not because I say it, because the Word of God says it. If you've been born again, you're still going to give an account for everything you've done in this body, whether good or bad. People try to get people to read the Bible with candy bars. There's a church I know that I was kind of, everybody was up in the choir, and they said, "All right, if you've read the Bible through this year, you need to raise your hand so we can put your name on a plaque." And I'm thinking, if you read it twice, do you get your name put on there twice? If you read it four times, you get a trophy to take home? People, that external thing to try to bribe people to read the Word of God, it's silly.
Yeah.
You should read the Word of God because you've been born again and you want to know what God has in store for you and what He wants you to do.
Hey, yes.
We don't read the Bible so that we can be the best at Bible trivial pursuit. We read the Word of God so that He can give us direction in our life and we can understand what the Creator of the universe who paid for us wants us to do in our lives. We read the Word because God told us to. And we're His children, and we want to be obedient children.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Said this before. If you are not in the Word of God, you cannot be in the will of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't see how it's possible. If you are not in the Word of God, you cannot be in the will of God. Two minutes. Ready? Practical tips for reading the Word of God. I understand everybody's different. But just as a thought, number one, you need to read for the whole. And when I say read for the whole, pretend like it's a good book you're curling up with and just read it. Just sit and read. There's not enough people to do that. They read the Daily Bread. They read some man's interpretation of one verse that's supposed to carry it through the day. They read two verses. Read the Bible for the whole so that you can have context. Have something to write down stuff with as God shows you stuff, or questions that God showed you some stuff that may be a deeper thing. Study for the specifics. Read for the whole so you can get a bigger context of what the Word of God's talking about, because it's all over itself. It keeps intertwining within itself. Read for the whole. Study for the specifics. Take time to study some things that God has shown you to make sure it bears out.
Yeah, yeah.
Meditate on those things. He will give you more if you obey the light He's given you. Because we are supposed to be what? Salt and light.
Light, yes.
We want to shine as brightly as possible in this present evil world. Be careful, and I know this is going to cross some of you all up, I'm just making a statement. Be careful about your reliance on electronic media. Electronic Bibles. It's easy to go and get on your phone and scroll through it. And they're good for something. I'm saying, you know, I can't think of something. You type it in, it pops up, and it's good. It's there. But be careful about just reading an electronic Bible all the time, because your brain literally processes information completely different than a physical book. That is a proven fact. As a teacher, I have witnessed it many, many, many times. As somebody who works in a business, I have seen it happen many, many times. The difference between somebody looking at an electronic proof and a physical copy of something. Way different. Your brain processes the information different. And how many times, just in my own life, I can think of, I was trying to flip through my Bible to find something and was able to find something else. God popped something else at me just flipping through my Bible. Can't do that scrolling down a screen very good. Yeah, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just saying, be careful about reliance on electronic Bibles. And last, be careful not to read the Bible through the lens of worldly theology. We didn't come from monkeys. Earth's not billions of years old. There are people that have taken and conformed theology to fit a worldview.
Yeah.
And we have no idea how influenced we are by that.
Yes.
Just through the public education system along with things. I'm just telling you, we talked about stars that one day. You know, is a whale a fish or a mammal? What does the Bible say about that? Because people say that's a contradiction in the Bible. Here it's a fish. And we know that a whale is a mammal. I don't know. Who said a whale was a mammal? We, man, classified it as well as man. What did God say about flesh? He said there's one kind of flesh for the sea, one kind of flesh for the air. There's celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, right? Be careful, and they'll call you ignorant and a science denier, and that's fine. I mean, if you need to put it down on the test that a well's a mammal, put down a well's a mammal or whatever. But I'm just telling you, be careful about being overly influenced by a worldview in reading the Bible that is not God's view.
Amen.
Revelation 3:1, and I'm done. Sardis, the church in Sardis. We are at the point in America, in American Christianity, probably all over the world, where we basically got two choices. We've got a name that we're alive, but we're dead. And we better strengthen the things that remain.
Yeah.
And you're only going to do that by having your nose in the book.
Yep.
You better strengthen the things that remain. Hope maybe God grows that stuff before He just ends it all. God's long-suffering, but He's not forever suffering.
That's true.
We're either like the church in Sardis, or we're just like Laodicea, and that's the end of it. Mm-hmm. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We don't need God. We don't need His Word. Please, please, everybody knows we're supposed to read and study the Word of God. If you've been born again, you have a responsibility to read and study the Word of God. God expects that of you.
Amen.
Please, stop making excuses for why you cannot read and study the Word of God. That looks bad on us as Christians. If you have no desire to read the Word of God or find that you never have time for Christ to be preeminent in your life, I would ask you to check and make sure you've truly been born again.
Amen.
And again, I don't say that in a mean way. I'm just saying that God tells us to examine ourselves when we're being
saved.
Because there is evidence. That verse in Peter is an evidential proof as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. That's all I've got for you. Thank you for your patience. I hope I was fast enough or not out of sorts with me. Make sure you have a good rest of the evening. God bless.
Thank you, brother. I asked Brian to speak on this subject on purpose. I've heard him speak in conversation enough to where I knew that this was a bit of a passion to him. And that's why I asked him to speak. You were talking about laying in bed, remembering that you had forgotten to read your Bible.